very thankful for prayer, Brother Dylan prayed on our behalf. I'd ask that you would continue to pray that the Lord would use me and use his people to his honor and to his glory, and that we would be blessed in our efforts to do so. Starting the subject that I want to take under consideration is that of hope. You know, it's easy to get in a condition in your life that seems like there's not a lot of hope. But I believe for the child of God, he never loses hope in a sense. You know, hope is something desired, and it's accompanied by the idea, the expectation, if nothing but slight, that we can obtain that or that it is obtainable. That is the definition in the Webster's Dictionary of what hope is. I believe in the Bible, the definition of hope is far stronger than just a slight expectation. I believe it's an earnest expectation that we have. If you go to the Strong's, you'll find out it is a word that brings with it great confidence that we have in the Lord. And I thought a lot about hope, and I thought a lot about hope today, and there's always hope for tomorrow, and there's always hope for next week. You know, we're always hoping for something, and the hope that we have finds its basis, if you would, or it's grounded in the promises and in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we're afflicted, whether it be spiritual or whether it be physical. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to lose hope in our life over ourselves or over someone else or whoever it might be. But I tell you right now, there's something that dwells in you if you're a child of God that you don't lose hope of. And that's that one day you're going to live in a place called heaven. The Bible calls it paradise. Some people call it immortal glory, but it's a place where there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death. You know, death's a hard thing to deal with, even though we know that those who have went on have went to heaven to be with the Lord, and that we have that great hope of eternal life dwelling in us, that we'll be there one day. We're told in verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Our hope is grounded in those promises such as that, in the great truth of God's word. Now, hope is something that we don't just desire in eternity. I believe that is something that every child of God, regardless of how his life might or might not be going, has an understanding. Things are going to be made right one day. We're not going to have sleepless nights. We're not going to have bad days. We're not going to shed any more tears. You know, and the more you talk about what Revelation 21 says that heaven will be like, regardless of whether there's trees, mountains, or rivers there, just to think that there'll be no more death, there'll be no more tears shed, there'll be no more sleepless nights, there'll be no more difficulties of any kind, certainly gives me a great, great desire to see that day come sooner than later. Because life is struggle, it's hard. And the older we get, a lot of times the physical afflictions of life really do weigh down on us. Sometimes when we're young, the spiritual afflictions of life weigh down on folks. You know, it's a little discouraging today to see the church down at the number of folks that we have compared to what we once had. We've all lived there. But you know, there is hope with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope with God that things can change. I can't change them. All I can do is try to do what the Lord had had me to do, but the Lord can. He can do above and beyond what we ever think or ask. He is able, whereas we're not. He is able to sustain his church, to bless his church. And our hope is always in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. Whether it be today or tomorrow, next week or whatever. You know, when it comes to the difficulties of life, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth. The blind began to see when he healed them. The lame began to walk. The deaf began to hear. Those who couldn't speak They begin to speak when Jesus touched their hearts or spoke that life-giving voice to them. He cleansed the lepers of leprosy. You know, it wasn't something that happened. It happened immediately. He spoke and it was done and he commanded and it stood fast. You remember and I'll not go there, and I don't even remember where it is in the Bible, of a man who come and his daughter was sick and he didn't believe that Jesus was worthy to come into his roof. And he said, at thy word, she can be healed. That's the faith that this man had in Jesus Christ. And you know that's exactly what happened. I say that today because Jesus doesn't have to be walking bodily on this earth to heal us or to bring about a miracle. When he speaks from heaven, it's just the same as if he spoke right here in our presence. When he commands in heaven, it stands fast, just as though he was standing here in our presence. So we have hope today, but even if our hope has faded somewhat because of life's difficulties or because of the way this nation's went, I've made a simple statement many times that the Christian influence in this country has diminished tremendously over the last 50 years, which is a majority of my lifetime. It's a little longer, but that influence is tremendously diminished. I believe God's people, a great many of them, have been conformed to the world and have not been transformed. It's nothing new. It's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon would say. It's just a cycle and a time that we've lived long enough to see compared to an earlier age in which we lived. But friends, we have hope. We have hope for everything in this life because of Jesus Christ. Because of the promises that God made, a God which cannot lie. I want to go to Hebrews for just a minute and read a few verses out of Hebrews chapter 6. Beginning in verse 17, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That's the unchangeableness of God. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, that strengthens our hope. Because he's a God that cannot lie and he's an unchanging God. Do you know that there's never been a promise failed to be kept by God? He's not like you and I. We've made tons of promises in our life and we've not fulfilled those promises. Some of those promises we made, we didn't have the ability to fulfill. Some of them we did and we just didn't keep them. We didn't fulfill them. But that's not who our God is. That separates him from you and I. That's why he's worthy of our praise, our honor, and our glory, and our full attention, especially when we come together to worship him. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, we might have strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I tell you, when you were born of the Spirit of God, you were given some hope by God himself. A hope in Jesus Christ. Not only were you enabled to believe upon his name, you had a hope that one day you would live in eternity, as I spoke, of a place where the difficulties that we see in this life will not exist. Forever. I mean, it's hard for me to embrace in my little mind what forever is. But it's a place where there's no end. Time never ends and there'll never be a trouble. We'll all get along. We'll all love each other with perfect love. We'll not have any sad nights. Teardrops will never fall again. The longer you live, the better it sounds, I'll assure you. At least it does in my life. But notice what it says here in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We have an anchor in our soul called hope. And I believe that hope itself is Jesus Christ. Let's notice what it says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anchor of your soul is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It says it's both sure and steadfast. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have a hope in you that's sure and steadfast? I thought a lot about an anchor. An anchor is something that usually is thrown out of a boat to keep the boat from moving. The heavier the anchor, the stronger the anchor, the less likely that boat will ever drift. I believe when we were given the measure of faith, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, we were given the hope of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And regardless of what happens in our lives, we never lose sight of that. I believe that. Even though we may lose hope for today or tomorrow, I believe every child of God has a hope of living in heaven. I believe that. Matter of fact, the more difficult life becomes, the greater that hope becomes. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is not only our hope for heaven, but he's our hope today, our hope tomorrow. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes we think we have the ability to do certain things in life that we don't. Sometimes we think we have the ability to overcome things that we don't have that ability. Without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't. We think we're strong. We think we can do all kinds of things, but you'll find out that we are truly weak. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, we become weaker and weaker. But I believe it never fades completely from the child of God, the hope that he has of living in heaven. I believe that never fades. Not just because we want to go to heaven and be with those who went on to heaven before us, but because we desire as God's children to see him face to face. To know that our bodies will be glorified like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body, we're told. What a hope we have. As we get older in life, and as I get older, and as I observe my brothers and sisters that are getting older and the struggles they're going through, I can see why they yearn for that day. That day becomes more precious and more precious to them. Not just because someone they loved went home to be with the Lord, because the struggles and the burdens here upon this earth become greater and harder. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh. The evil days are the days of old age. You read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and you're going to find out that the body's going to break down. And there's not a lot of fun. We seen a little bit of that this morning, and it wasn't something intentional. It's just something that we could experience, and it could have happened to any of us. But we get ready to go home. We believe what Paul said in Titus chapter 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The anchor of our soul that is steadfast and sure. I believe as we add to our faith, as we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe as we strengthen our faith, it's like laying down a heavier anchor that keeps us from moving. That's what an anchor does. It keeps us from drifting away. We're told in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty. Stand fast literally means to be stationary, not to be moved about by every wind of doctrine. The more in tune we are with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more hope that we have, I believe the heavier that anchor is and the less we're moved. I believe the less we're moved. You know, we go to a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I've spoken these verses at many funerals, but I think the verse is very appropriate for us today. When Paul told those at Thessalonica, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, he's talking about those bodies who have these tabernacles of clay here upon the earth that have died, passed away, the soul and spirit took flight and went home to be with God. He said, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Now that doesn't mean, he didn't say don't sorrow, don't grieve. We all grieve, we all sorrow, we all shed a lot of tears when someone we love passes. Or when something happens to someone in our lives. It's not just death that brings sorrows and tears to our eyes. That's what makes heaven look so special and so sweet. We've shed many tears over things maybe our children have done or over circumstances that have come our way in life, whatever they might be. Things just didn't work out the way we thought they might. And we've had lots of sorrows from time to time. But friends, we have a hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a hope for a better day. And I believe the child of God always looks for a better day. It might not be tomorrow, and it might not be the next day, but we have that hope dwelling within us. You know, back over there, and I read that definition in the Webster's Dictionary, it talks about the contrast of a wish compared to a hope. Wish is always, or nearly always, accompanied with anxiety and pain. You know, we can wish for something in life. I know a lot of people wish they'd win the lottery. Even a lot of people who never buy a lottery ticket, they wish they'd win it. Well, most of them never expect to win it. You know, some people wish that Publishers Clearing House would come to their front door with one of them big checks. But not many people expect that to happen, do they? I sure don't. That's what you call wishes. It's something that's beyond belief, beyond something that happened. But the hope that we have in God is an earnest expectation. It's a confidence that God will bring to pass what he promised in hope of eternal life. But God also healed and delivered folks in the times of their life while they lived upon the earth. Our healing always comes from Jesus Christ. It never comes from others. If it does, it's at the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are in the graves, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. Do you know there's a people out here in the world that sorrow maybe more or just as much as you and I, yet they don't have any hope? They don't. I've met some of them. I met a lady, and I mentioned it several times. She was worshiping a Jewish synagogue in Albuquerque, flying with her on a plane. She didn't believe in Jesus Christ. She said she wished she had what I had. She just thought when life was over, that's it, and you go back to being fertilizer. Boy, what a joy wouldn't that be? We have a hope greater than that, do we not? We have a hope that one day we're going to be delivered in the very presence of Jesus Christ, that he'll look upon us and we'll look upon him. And there'll never be another day in your life that'll compare to that life. At the moment, our eyes are opened in his presence. And all these things in the world are put away. That is the hope that anchors our soul. It's sure and it's steadfast. Notice it. He said over there that anchor was Jesus Christ in the next verse. But there are people that don't have hope. Aren't you thankful that no matter how difficult the day might be, or whatever circumstances you're facing in life, you're not without hope? One day things will be made right. Not on our behalf. The troubles of life will disappear because sin will be no more. That's why there will be no more troubles. Because in heaven there will be no sin. That's where all our troubles and problems come from. We're not to sorrow, and we're to sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But let's notice here in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, if that isn't a promise made unto you and I that gives us tremendous hope, regardless of what's happening in our life, I don't know what would. You know, none of us have had a perfect life. None of us had a pain-free life, a trouble-free life. We've had some good days, I'll assure you that. Many days to be rejoicing at. You know, you think back through all the difficulties of life and all the circumstances. Think about the wonderful time you had when your children were born. What a blessing it was from the Lord to give life unto your family. The time that you got married, the time that you went to the house of the Lord and rejoiced and were baptized and joined the church. I mean, there are just many things in life that we rejoice about. But Jesus said, in this life we shall have tribulations. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be strong. He said, I've overcome the world. So the trials and tribulations, they come. But we don't want to discount the fact that we have good days and good times and times to rejoice. But in heaven, it'll be nothing but rejoicing. There'll be nothing but good days. We won't have the difficulties of this life. And that's why we sorrow not as others who have no hope. There are people that live upon this earth that don't believe there is a place called heaven. But I tell you what, we believe in a God who delivers upon his promises. Peter put it this way over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. We were begotten again unto a lively hope by what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Where would we be if Christ hadn't rose? We've been begotten again to a lively hope by the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. But we, as His children, have been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. No wonder we have such a strong hope. You've already got a reservation in heaven. One day you're going to fill that reservation. You know, sometimes we make reservations to go stay at a hotel or motel or somewhere in the world, and we have to cancel those reservations. Aren't you glad that God will never cancel your reservation in heaven? Never. Because He sent His Son to die in your room instead, to pay your sin debt. And you're kept now by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. We've been begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And friends, that is sure and that is steadfast and that is the anchor of hope that's in our souls. As Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why I know that we can do things with the power of God that we can't do without Him, because He's in us. He's dwelling in us, His Spirit. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But as I said, there are those who have no hope. Aren't you thankful that you're not among those? As troubled as things may be in your life or have been in your life or may be going forward in your life, aren't you thankful that you have a hope dwelling in you that one day you're going to be in heaven? Heaven's pure world where we won't have these problems, whatever they might be. You know, I still have hope in this nation where so many have forsaken the assembling of themselves. I know. I have hope because my hope's in Jesus Christ. It's not in me. It's not in you in that perspective. It's in Jesus Christ. He is our strength and He is our hope. You know, we were begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let's notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I want you to notice what he says, if we have in this life only hope of Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm here to tell you that our hope in Jesus Christ goes beyond this life, all the way into the portals of heaven itself. In glory, where we'll be one day. We would be miserable if we only had hope of Him today and not tomorrow and not when we closed our eyes in death. We would sorrow as those who have no hope. But our hope is eternal. It's now, it's tomorrow, and it'll be the hope that we have when we go to heaven to be with the Lord. You know, Paul said, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, in the 3rd verse, he's, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In agreement. The Scriptures didn't put Him to death, but it tells how He was put to death and the way that He was put to death. It's written there in the Word of God for us to study, to read, and to understand. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the 3rd day according to the Scriptures. In agreement with the Scriptures. What's written down in God's Word is the absolute truth. He died. He paid the sin. We're told over in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews that He entered into the holy place once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Boy, what a strength you have and what a hope we have. He entered in once, not to give the opportunity to obtain eternal redemption. He went in there and He obtained it for each and every one of His children by the sacrifice of Himself. If that isn't sure and steadfast, I don't know what is. If that's not what anchors your soul, I question what we believe. It is what anchors our soul. It is what gives us strength to get through the problems of this day or the problems of tomorrow or whatever we may face 10 years down the road or 15 years down the road. We don't know. The Lord knoweth. But hope is something that we have that keeps us going, keeps us moving forward. It says in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Be Easter here in about a month, and I'm sure you'll hear sermons preached on this, but we can't preach on it enough because our hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sing that song, and that's the truth. That's what our hope is built upon. Now, if Christ be preached, it said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? The argument that Paul made here is, if Christ doesn't rise, if we don't rise, Christ didn't rise. Great argument he made there. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain? Why are we gathered here today? I'll assure you, if we didn't have the hope of eternal life dwelling in us and the belief of Jesus Christ, we'd be out here in the world with everybody else. What good would it be to come to the house of the Lord? This would all be vanity. But I believe God has instilled in his children that there is a purpose and a reason and a love and a desire that we have. The hope of Christ dwelling in us, it gives us reason and purpose. And if Christ be not risen, then your preaching is vain and your faith is vain? Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Christ didn't rise either if you and I are not going to rise from the dead. Did you know that? Just as sure as he lives, we shall live. We sing that song because he lives, we shall live. But if we're not going to live, he didn't live. That's what Paul made, that's the argument he made. If we're not going to rise, Christ didn't rise either. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sins. We're like those people who sorrow and have no hope if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. But we were begotten again unto a lively hope. What? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the lifeblood of us. It's like, Brother George, you say, it's Geritol. It's what keeps us going in the most difficult of our times is we know that we had a Savior who paid our debt, and he paid it in full. And now we have hope that one day we'll see him face to face and we'll live with him. But we have hope tomorrow and today for whatever struggles that we have, that he will help us as we journey through life, that he will give us the grace that we stand in need of. He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Unfortunately, in our lives, or at least in my life, I have to get awful weak and in a bad way sometimes before I draw nigh unto God. And I draw nigh unto the Lord and beg for his grace. He goes to verse 20, he says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept." You know, if you learn anything today about what a first fruit is, it's a first fruit offering. The children of Israel made them, but Christ was the first fruit offering. The first one to rise from the dead, and do you know what that meant? It guaranteed the complete, entire harvest. Everyone that were given to him by the Father one day will rise from those graves and go to home to live with him in glory. That's the promise that we have. But notice in verse 32, this kind of reminds you of those folks who have no hope. "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not?" Paul just might have said, you know, what is it? Why not I get entangled in the affairs of life, preaching and otherwise, if the dead rise not? "If the dead rise not, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." Let's eat, drink, and be merry and go about our way in the world and do whatever we want to. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, because we're not going to rise from the dead if he didn't. Friends, I'm here to tell you, based upon the truth of God's word, he rose on the third day. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us every time we go to the Lord in prayer. This is the hope that we have dwelling in us, the lively hope that we've been begotten to by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access to God right now, not just when we get to heaven. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord knows our infirmities. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Yet in all points was he tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest that knows the feelings of our infirmities. Peter said, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We know that Jesus Christ cares. And we need to be in prayer as we go through the difficulties of life. You know, when Lazarus died and Jesus delayed his coming for 3 or 4 days and they declared unto Jesus, he stinketh. The shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. He cares for you. He knows the feelings of your infirmities. He is your hope today, not just for heaven. He's your hope today and tomorrow and next week and next year. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, sometimes it's hard to wrap your hands around that idea of you're going to glory in tribulations, because most of us don't like trials and tribulations. And knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, which means endurance. Those trials cause us to endure. By God's grace and by the hope we have dwelling in us, we endure those. But notice here, and patience works experience, and experience hope. Hope's at the bottom line there. That's what we have. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost that we have this great hope. Get a few more verses and I'm going to close. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is that not the hope that you have today, tomorrow, and as long as you live in this physical, natural body? Can you not say with Paul that I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us? When we're delivered into the pure heaven itself to be in the presence of Jesus Christ and our God? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest expectation of the creature. We know that these bodies, these vile bodies, will be changed. We didn't go through the rest of 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, but they will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This corruptness must put on incorruptness. This mortal body must put on immortality. He goes on down in verse 24 and he says, for we are saved by hope. Somebody would say, I thought we were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are. He's not talking about how, in a sense of eternity. He's talking about a sense of time. For we're saved by hope. We're delivered from despair and difficulties and struggles in this life because of the hope that we have dwelling in us, Jesus Christ. It says, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You know, we don't have much hope for this old world, or at least I don't. We're told in the, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us that this outward body perisheth daily, but this inner man is renewed day by day. It goes on to say that the things that we see at the end of that chapter that we look upon with our natural eyes are temporal, but the things that we do not see are eternal. That's the saving we see here. Notice what he says. For we are saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. With endurance do we wait for the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the anchor of your soul. He's sure and he's steadfast, and he keeps you from drifting away. And you know, we can strengthen our faith and we can add to our faith, and that anchor can become stronger, I believe, heavier. The heavier that anchor is, the less likely you are to drift. But even if you do drift, your hope is still in Jesus Christ. Some of God's children do that. I've done that in my life, but our hope is in the Lord that one day, when our time is done upon this earth, whenever that is, when we're called home to be with the Lord, it'll be such a blessing. We're told is 17th chapter, I believe, of Jeremiah, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and the Lord is his hope." That's us, I hope, today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, our hope's in Jesus Christ, because we sure don't understand what's going on around us all the time. But I tell you right now, I don't know what you're facing, what you may face or may not face. But I know you have a hope in Jesus Christ that no one can take from you. And it'll get you through tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And one day you'll be carried completely home out of this old world, out of this old sin-filled world, to be home in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. May we always be encouraged by the hope we have, not only now, but of that that's to come. May God bless you, is my prayer this morning.